This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Cream. Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
Your rain on the top. All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080. The Fan. Overtime in soccer right now. Croatia. Yeah, that's what I said.
Bonus time.
Bonus, overtime, extra, whatever the hell you want to call it. They're still playing soccer for the right to go to the World Cup final and take on France. Croatia, England tied at one.
Has anybody checked in with Mark Hamilton to see how he is doing, what the pacing schedule's like? Because his confidence apparently took a pretty big hit this morning. He was confident England fan on the show yesterday.
He was cocky England fan.
And we
yesterday.
Had our good buddy Mike Moore at from the Wolf Stop by. We were talking before the show, and he said, "Yeah, not quite as confident as he was yesterday."
Oh, he was all fired up after Trippier's goal there on the free kick in the fifth minute. But I haven't wandered by his office since Croatia tied it up.
Sources say his heart stopped, and they have not been able to get it going again. He can't handle this pressure.
Been about 92 minutes since they scored. Waiting on you, England. Waiting on you.
All right, we got a lot to get to here in the second hour, and I kind of want to start it with some college football news and notes.
That feels good to hear, doesn't it?
Has anybody else had a moment? I had one on Sunday. I was watching some sports, sitting on my couch, and I just started thinking about college football, and I got jacked out of my mind.
I had it last night. I was channel surfing around, trying to go to bed, just find something to help you fall asleep. And the Iron Bowl from last year was on the SEC Network.
There you go. That's a good game, too.
So I was like, oh. Yeah.
That's right. Auburn beat them, and then Alabama still made the college football playoffs. How about that?
Stidham's back. Wow. Oh, that's right. They're playing Washington to start the season.
Oh, Alabama didn't win their division and still made the college football playoff.
We had a moment yesterday right after the show. We're in our boss's office.
Bring that up again.
And it was a college football classic. Nebraska-Colorado in 2001 in Colorado. And Colorado just beat up Nebraska.
Yeah, that's how. But Nebraska still went to the national championship game.
And then Oregon undressed Colorado in the Fiesta Bowl that year.
And that was Neuheisel was there?
It might have been Gary Barnett.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Barnett.
Yeah. I think Neuheisel was in Seattle.
He was in Washington. Because they went to the Rose Bowl that
year. That's right.
With Tuiasosopan, when they faced Drew Brees Purdue Boilermakers.
That's a what if for a lot of Duck fans that they bring up. That's never one that I've bought into. I think the fond memory of winning the Fiesta Bowl is pretty nice compared to what would have happened to you against Miami in the national championship game.
Miami was as dominant as we've ever seen.
That was peak Miami. That's one of the best college football teams we've ever seen. They ran like Nebraska. They're a punching bag 20 years later because of the way they lost that game and the way they lost to Colorado. That was a damn good Nebraska football team. That was still in the peak of Nebraska football. And I'm glad that Oregon went to the Fiesta Bowl. We have a fond memory of beating Colorado.
It's always fun to have that mentality, though.
Sure. I mean, the what if is fun to talk about, but some Duck fans seem to believe that they could have given Miami a run for their money. I never bought into that.
Who's more delusional, Duck fan that thinks they beat Miami or Beaver fan that thinks they beat Oklahoma? The back-to-back years they missed out on it.
I would say Duck fan just because of how good that Miami team was. Not saying that the Oregon State team was better than Oregon, because that was a damn good Oregon team in 2001. But you're talking one of the best college football teams of all time in my mind.
No doubt.
Go back and look at like the NFL Hall of Famers that were on that roster.
Well, this is a long way to say we're excited for college football this season.
Can we start? Should we start a countdown?
I think it's 52 days, 51 52? Days.
Okay, sounds about right.
About that. Let's start with this. How about some Air Force college football news? Didn't think I'd bring that wow. today.
Now you piqued my interest.
Well, this is an interesting story.
All right, what do you got?
So Air Force is going to enter preseason camp and maybe even the season without an official defensive coordinator.
Huh?
Yeah, so their defensive coordinator left to take on the Carolina Panthers linebacking coaching job.
Okay.
And their head coach at Air Force, Troy Calhoun, was talking at a panel lunch. And he told the media and ESPN.com, I know, quote, naming a defensive coordinator is what everyone says you have to do, but they know the scheme we're going to use. Inevitably, everyone on the staff collaborates on play calls. He kind of asked, why do I need to announce it? He's kind of keeping this a secret and something he may never release the information of who his real defensive coordinator is. But he might be right. If you know the scheme, what does it matter if you know the name?
I mean, he brings up a valid point here.
Because you're going to pick up on the tendencies by watching the film anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So how do they split who calls plays, though, on defense?
Well, that's the thing, is he doesn't tell other people who it is.
Okay. So you could switch it on a week-by-week basis. You could switch it in-game, I guess, if you want to.
He noted inside linebackers coach Rod Vanderlinden and Brian Knorr both have extensive defensive coordinator experience.
Huh.
So it's probably one of those two dudes.
Look at Air Force getting creative.
I thought that was like, at first you're like, oh, that's dumb. And then you're like, oh, he made a valid point.
That kind of makes sense. You can ride the hot hand, too. If one of your guys calling plays has a good week, ride the hot hand. See how he does next week.
Yeah, and then if he has a bad week, you throw him under the bus.
Right. No, that was John. He's not calling plays again this week.
We're going to go Peter this week. Let's go to the Pac-12. Some arbitration news.
Oh,
you remember Steve Sarkisian had filed a $30 million wrongful termination lawsuit against USC for being fired for his alcohol problem.
Fight on!
Well, the arbitrator came out and they sided with USC. Lynn Swan, their AD, came out and said, we are pleased that the arbitration has reached its rightful conclusion and wish Steve Sarkisian well. Sark, who is now the OC at Atlanta for the Falcons, said, quote, I am disappointed in their decision, but will respect it and move on. Much gratitude to everyone who has shown their support and stood by me. Last 2 years have been trying, but I am now in a great place, healthy, happy, and loving my job with the Falcons and have the support of my family and friends.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't follow this case very closely, but I do remember when it was first announced. It just didn't really quite think he had a strong argument. So I'm not shocked that USC ultimately won. But it is good to see Sark at least rebounded in his life and seemingly doing okay. There's questions about how good of an offensive coordinator he is, because Atlanta's offense really struggled last year, and they went from being a dominant group with Shanahan to falling off on that side of the football with him last season. And it was a big reason why a lot of people think they didn't advance further in the playoffs with a very similar roster to what they had the year before. So there's questions about him being a good offensive coordinator in the NFL, but at least health-wise and alcohol-wise, he seems to have things under control.
Let's go to Gainesville. Tim Tebow might be in the major leagues with the New York Mets because they're so god-awful they might need something to put butts in the seats.
And sell those tickets.
He's having an okay stint right now in minor league baseball. Some have noted he has improved significantly from where he started.
And he's hitting like 250 in Double A or something.
Something like that, yeah. Slugging percentage is pretty decent. Well, Florida Gators announced that the 2007 Heisman Trophy winner will be the sixth player inducted in the Florida Gators Ring of Honor. It'll happen during the LSU-Florida game on October 6th. Many have called Tebow the greatest Florida football player of all time. He says he is grateful for the opportunity, but he wouldn't have been able to do it without the amazing coaches and teammates.
Like Aaron Hernandez.
do whatever it takes to kill those guys on the field, man.
The people don't forget.
Can you name the other five players? Because I was surprised it was only five in the Ring of Honor. Florida's had an amazing program.
They only got five guys in the Ring of Honor?
Only five players in the Ring of Honor. I could have named two of them.
Danny Werfel.
Or three of them, yeah. So Danny
Spurrier.
Werfel.
Spurrier.
Spurrier.
Yep.
Emmett Smith.
Oh, Swigart.
Yeah, Emmett Smith's got to be
in
there.
A lot of people probably forget Emmett Smith played for Florida.
Are the other ones big names? Or
there's one more big name.
Big name.
It's before our time. It might even before Swigart's time.
Oh, that's going to be tough to come up with them.
I'd say it, and Swigart will go, that's right.
Bruce Smith?
Nope.
Oh. Give me a position.
Defensive end. You were close with the position, just not the guy.
Defensive end.
It's one of the best football names of all time.
Like names or like?
No. Yeah, names. Just a little at the beginning of your time / before and before our time.
So we're talking 70s NFL player? 60s, 70s NFL player?
Yeah.
Good luck, Swigart.
Deacon Jones?
Nope. Wilbur Marshall is another one. That's not the guy. That's not the guy I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Wilbur Marshall. No. That's not a great football name.
Come on, one more guess each, and then I'll tell you.
Who else? Great.
Was it
defensive end? Who would have? Mark Gaston? No.
Mean Joe Green?
That was funny how you said Mark Gaston. No. Just finish out the name.
Not,
I give up.
Not Mean Joe Green.
No. Jack Youngblood.
Oh.
He was a defensive end?
Yeah.
Jack Youngblood.
How about that?
I love
Florida.
That name.
Always love that name.
That's pretty crazy. They only got five guys now in their Ring of Honor?
It'll be six with Tebow, but five Tebow. Right now. Wilbur Marshall, Danny Werfel, Emmett Smith, Steve Spurrier, and Jack Youngblood.
By the way, did you see the Tebow update today that he is, I believe he's dating Miss Universe?
She's smoking hot.
Dude, yeah. I think he's dating 2017 Miss Universe.
I don't say this to poke fun, just genuinely curious. Does he actively seek out virgins, or does he not care? I don't know why you're laughing. But does anybody else think about weird, dumb things like that like I do?
No, I think people ponder. They ponder.
I think you got to actively seek out the virgin. I think you want the experience to be
similar,
equal,
yeah.
Awkward,
right.
Nerves, and then excitement.
We're going to be on par with each other.
Versus you date smoking hot supermodel, and she's like, you're my 18th.
This is, I believe, the second Miss Universe he's dated now.
He gets, he's good with the hotties.
Dude. Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy. Good-looking cat. And by all,
sure.
You know, all the reports say he's actually a good guy.
Good dude, yeah.
Just, you know, super religious guy, and he
wait
wears
for
on
them
sleeve.
Now that we're talking Tim Tebow, just wait for that later this summer
when he comes into the major leagues.
It is going to be, it's going to happen.
It's going to be an S storm, and it's going to be talked about on this show.
The Mets are a total dumpster fire this year, and they need some sort of entertainment and excitement. And insert Tim Tebow.
All right, it's still 1-1 in the World Cup semifinal, and it is now going to penalty kicks.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
They switch ends here. They're midway through extra time.
Ah, they're switching. Switching ends. There you go. Keep you updated on that one when it goes final. Let's stick in college football. We've got the other Power 5 conference title odds, and we just want to talk college football, so we'll do that next.
Waiting around, through ups and downs.
120 on the fan. Welcome back in. Croatia just missed another opportunity to win the match.
So how many? What do we play to? 115 minutes? How long do we go here?
120.
120. Okay.
I hope we get to penalty kicks.
Yeah, me too. Those are exciting.
For the World Cup final, man, that could be awesome. We were talking some college football news and notes. I want to stay in college football. Our old friend Brett McMurphy, he sent out the latest odds. We talked about the Pac-12 odds yesterday. Washington, the overwhelming favorite to win the Pac-12, 5-9 odds. Second is USC 4-1, Stanford 9-2, Oregon 8-1, Arizona, Utah tied at 15-1, and it goes on and on and on. Well, let's go to the other Power 5 conferences here. And let's start with the Big 12. Who would you guess is the favorite the Big 12?
I mean, it's got to be Oklahoma, right, at this point, even though Baker Mayfield's gone. Oh, I think we got a goal.
Yes, we did.
Croatia has scored.
Wow.
Oh, Hamilton.
Mandzukic.
You don't bet against my Croatians, baby.
Well, easy. We still got another 12 minutes here, all right?
They're killing
them
right
now. Can I ask one quick soccer question, too?
Yeah.
Why can you not just stop the clock when this kind of stuff happens?
Well, that don't they add that for
I know,
extra?
But I don't think it's ever 100% accurate. Like, why don't you just literally play until 90 minutes, and every time something like this happens, you just stop the clock?
Because flopping and stuff can take a long time.
Well, maybe guys wouldn't be
there's only certain things. Actually, the celebration.
That's not. I know. I'm just saying all these things accumulated, like the flopping, the guys laying on the ground, the celebration of a goal.
In soccer stadiums.
I don't think he really has an answer for you.
You don't, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a pretty easy thing to do? Just pause, play. Right?
You interrupted my football segment.
Sorry.
You asked Swigart a soccer question that he can't answer. Some of these questions you can't answer. It's
apologies.
Okay. World Cup update. Croatia up 2-1. It's at 109 right now in... is it extra time? Is that what it's proper?
Yes.
Extra time.
Overtime. You're right. Oklahoma is the Big 12 favorite, 5-7. Can you guess the next two?
I would go probably, I think Texas has high expectations this year.
Some people project them to be in a New Year's Day 6 bowl.
People are buying in like we do every single year with Texas. And I would say that they're in the top three. And then also I would include Oklahoma State into that mix.
Oklahoma State is not.
Okay.
It's Texas. You were right on that one. TCU. Who no longer has...
Kenny Trill. Your boy.
At quarterback. Oklahoma State is next, though, after them. They're with West Virginia at 8-1. Texas Tech is down there at 40-1. Kansas, 100-1. They have better odds than Oregon State to win their conference.
Yeah, you know...
That one hurts.
That one stings right there. The Oklahoma one makes sense because of the amount of talent they're bringing back. And Kyler Murray, at least we've seen him play college quarterback before. We know he's a dynamic athlete.
Have we really seen him play quarterback before confidence of winning the conference?
No. But we know he's a dynamic athlete, and I think that's enough, at least as of now, with what the offense that Oklahoma runs and the talent that they have coming back. I'm okay with putting them there. The team to watch in the Big 12, and it's weird to say this because we've been waiting, it's Texas. I think the Big 12, for some reason, gets propped up higher than the Pac-12 in terms of national respect, even though they've only had one team make the college football playoff. Oklahoma's been there twice, and they've lost both times that they've been to Clemson and then last year to Georgia in their semifinal games. And according to, I think, a lot of people on the West Coast, when you look at just from a respect factor, they need one of those other programs to step up. Oklahoma State can have good years, but it's not a consistently year in and year out thing. TCU was a really good football team last year. Kenny Hill just threw too many interceptions in some of their bigger games, and they dropped some that they probably shouldn't have. But the team that the conference is waiting for is Texas. And it's one of those storylines you just get tired of every single year. It's, you know, like when Notre Dame was down, it's like, when's Notre Dame going to be back? This is the year. This is the year. And every single year, it didn't seem to be that way. And this is a big one for Texas. You go into year two now with Tom Herman, the golden boy of college football. There's high expectations, and they got an early non-conference game against USC at home to prove how good they are.
I will be very curious to see if Texas, who has those expectations, if they finish with 7 wins.
What is the reaction to Tom Herman if they go 7-5? They were 7-5 last year, then I believe they lost their bowl game. Oh, no, they won their bowl games. They were 6-6 and won their bowl game to finish 7-6.
Charlie Strong obviously wasn't that great, but... boy, you go year two, everybody thinks you take that jump, and you have a 7-win type season. Everybody's going to be very frustrated by that one. Let's go on to the Big Ten. Obviously, Ohio State's the favorite, as they probably should be. They're 10-11 odds.
Yeah, I mean, that's the overwhelming favorite.
Can you guess the next three?
I would go Penn State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
You're right. It's a different order, but you're right. It's Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State. Michigan State is down there, and Iowa, Nebraska are sitting at 40-1. So the Big Ten's kind of predictable as well. You wonder if Wisconsin can realistically win it. I think with the talent, though, Ohio State, I don't know how you don't bet Ohio State to win that conference.
Well, and Penn State's got their quarterback coming back.
Yeah, McSorley's a big one.
A great college quarterback.
But they're down there. They're fourth. So they think Saquon Barkley loss.
sure,
is going to be bigger than bringing back their quarterback. And you don't see that too often in Vegas.
Well, I think part of that, too, is you look at the division. If you put Penn State, in my opinion, if you put them in the West with what Wisconsin has to face, they're the second highest favorite. But when you have to play Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan every single year,
right?
And I'm assuming, you know, one or two of those, if not hopefully all three for them, but there's a chance that a couple of them are on the road. That's a really tough gauntlet to go through. Wisconsin's division is Northwestern, Purdue, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Illinois.
Yeah, they're in the better half of that.
I mean, that's
conference.
A cakewalk. And these kind of things balance out. We've seen it in the Pac-12 for some years. It was the North to start, and the South kind of had their run. Now maybe the North is coming back again. So at some point, you think maybe the Big Ten balances out, especially if Scott Frost is able to do it at Nebraska. But right now, it's a cakewalk for the Badgers.
I mean, unless one of those three head coaches takes an NFL gig, I actually don't think it's going to balance out for a few more years.
Well, I just think from maybe other teams stepping up, like Northwestern is getting close. They were a 10-win team last year.
They like Fitzgerald and what he's been doing.
They just landed that transfer quarterback, I believe, from Clemson or whatever the kid left. One of those five-star kids that was sitting behind somebody else decided to go to Northwestern. They just got their new practice facility built. So Northwestern's building. And then I think Scott Frost is a dream hire for the Huskers.
Too.
He knows the area. He's a legend there. He's a phenomenal football coach. He's a great recruiter. You can't ask for anything more than that to get a young guy that doesn't seem like he would ever jump or leave for another job. He seems like he's got that life or potential. So you can balance out in terms of having three really good teams in the North in the East, and then also having three really good teams in the West.
All right, in the ACC, Clemson's the favorite, followed by Miami. Your boy Willie Taggart has the third best odds, and Va Tech at 8-1. I like Florida State a little more than I like Miami. I actually don't think Florida State would be a bad bet. You know,
yeah.
Somebody pointed out on the Athletic website, Florida State lost a lot of close games last year.
They did.
And they're bringing a ton of guys back, including their starting quarterback.
They lost a lot of close games, yeah, and they didn't have their starting QB for the entire season outside of three quarters against Alabama. That's not easy to go through. This is a big one, though, for Miami, too. Because Miami kind of had one of those runs last year. It reminded me of Notre Dame in 2012. They won a lot of fluky games. A lot, you know, you go back and look at some of the final scores and the way that they won, and you kind of just chuckle and shake your head. Like, how the hell did they do that? But it was big. It was a big year for them just to get back on the national stage. I'm sure it was an uptick in recruiting for them. But to be able to do it then the next year and to show that it wasn't kind of a fluke, that you can back it up and follow up that type of season. I mean, Miami ended last year 10-3. They lost their last three games. So they had a phenomenal start to the year, and they just couldn't quite finish it. It's a big one for them to capitalize. And I'm with you on Florida State. As much as I despise Willie Taggart for the way that he left Oregon, I understand the decision that he made. But that team is absolutely loaded. Absolutely loaded this year.
Is anybody else in the SEC going to beat Georgia or Bama?
No.
You don't think Auburn has a shot considering how close they were last year?
Well, they did beat Alabama last year. But
I'm talking about this year.
Yeah. I mean, they could beat them, but in terms of making a college football playoff or winning the conference, I wouldn't take Auburn, no.
All right. Well, there's your conference title odds in the Power 5. Give you the Pac-12 yesterday, the other four today. We'll stay in football, but we'll go to the NFL. Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and DeAndre Hopkins. Everything equal at quarterback. Who is the best wide receiver? Interesting article on ESPN.com about this. We'll talk.
Welcome back in 1:34. We are a couple of minutes away from the end of this game. Croatia leading England 2-1.
Our buddy Mark Hamilton lives 2 minutes away. He has left the building. He has not been around during the match.
Oh, he's definitely not coming back. There's no way you show your face after that.
Look, I don't mean this to be negative. There's a lot of emotion in it for a lot of people with the country and the pride and the getting this far. Boy, he was pretty cocky England fan yesterday on the old radio show. Like, this wasn't even going to be a close match.
That he was.
That's why I never go that way. I am always like, oh, we're going to lose. We're going to lose.
The cockiness of a fan, it's high risk, high reward.
Well, I guess my question is, I saw, you know, when England scored in the fifth minute, you saw some video. They were in Hyde Park there in London, their viewing party, and everybody, you know, they estimated they threw $10,000 of beer into the air when they scored.
Yeah.
Is there a U.S. equivalent to this anymore?
Like maybe the octopus on the ice rink when they used to be able to do
that?
No,
I mean, what would cause us as a nation
to get that frenzied?
Collectively as a nation. to stop everything that we are doing for a sporting contest and
nothing
lose our stuff.
Well, this or the Super Bowl.
See, but I don't know if it would be the same reaction.
I don't think a World Cup run.
You don't think if we got to this point and we scored the first goal in the semifinals to go to the final, we would have a town square somewhere where everybody is throwing beer or whatever
else. I don't think it would be
up.
Everybody. I don't think there's an I think this country is just too big.
What's
and
the population of England? Do you know?
I don't know. What are they?
Googling.
Probably 20 million?
Maybe 35 to 40.
Okay. So you got to take that into context. We've got 400 million people in
53.
Our country. 53. So 53 million. It's pretty close-knit compared to the size of their country and ours. I'm not saying we would match them, but I think we would have a lot more people. Like, even me.
Would you be throwing beer up in the air if the USA was playing this game?
If I was
right
watching
now?
It with a group of people like that, I would totally be a guy that throws it up because everybody else is doing it and you get caught up in the moment.
Huh.
You don't think we would be that way?
No,
I'm not saying we would.
I'm with Swagger. I think we would. There would be people. Like, we get into it.
I think we'd get a lot of
them.
People, but sure. I don't think the country would shut down the way other countries do
man.
For the World Cup.
I'm with Swagger on this one.
Well,
I mean,
we're the free world leader, but I think a lot of places would be willing to stop work and understand a lot of people are coming back too drunk.
Yeah, there's not many. Yeah, by the way, game's over.
It's
Croatia
over.
Wins.
Game blouses.
So we got Croatia and France in the final.
Yep,
yeah,
Sunday morning.
Sunday
what
morning.
What time, 11?
10 or 11. I'll double check that for you.
Okay.
I'm going to lean 11 because I've seen 10 twice and I've been wrong twice.
Yeah, see, I think the comparable you have for American sports, but it's not about going crazy and rooting necessarily for one team. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Like, that's
right.
One where Super Bowl Sunday, for the like the
yeah,
large
for
chunk
professional
of the,
for years.
Right.
But I'm just, I don't think there's an equivalent anymore. The closest we ever came was the 1980 U.S. hockey team. But times were so different back then.
Yeah, and obviously the political climate back then. Yeah, and is there any Olympic sport that would get us to get, like, we have never won, or we...
The Bruce Jenner thing was pretty cool when he won that. I don't know if it's not on this level.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Michael Phelps, did Michael Phelps come close, or was that more like, we know he's going to win, and it's kick-ass because he dominated?
We dominated so many times. I think you were just in awe of it. We didn't stop what we were doing to watch Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I didn't watch every event he did.
Right.
Oh, wait,
he was
if
in
it
a lot
was
of
on and I was around it, I would stop to watch him win.
Right.
Ryan Lochte peeing in a bathroom. Did that do it for us?
What about a world-class sprinter beating the, you know, getting back to those kind of days?
No, track
winning 100 meters?
No.
Because Usain Bolt was a big deal. Obviously not an American, but if you had an American that had, like, beaten Usain Bolt.
But what did it mean to Jamaica? Right, that's the
right.
level that Swigart's talking about.
Yeah, we wouldn't be the same, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm coming up with blanks here. The only reason I threw out Bruce Jenner was because, you know, that was even before my time. But I know you listen to people tell stories and talk about all-time great athletes. I mean, people still throw him around as the greatest athlete ever and what that meant.
Yeah, somebody said, I work for a German company. 10,000 employees didn't work for a week after they won. No way that would happen here.
Yeah.
that's the kind of stuff that we're talking
about. But the tough thing with this, though, is you're comparing so many countries with populations.
Right. Well, I know. I get that.
That aren't even a quarter of us.
That's true.
Like, how close would China be to doing this? Let's go that number. Let's go over 1 billion people.
China, how much...
Because I think if India ever was in a position, they would.
Yeah. You don't think India would go mad?
No. I think they wouldn't work.
Yeah.
They would shut down their country.
Oh, okay. So they'd be like one of these places.
Yeah. I don't think the Chinese would.
Like, I read something that it had gotten to the point where there was a proposal if England won the World Cup, it had gotten to Parliament that Monday was going to be an official holiday.
Right. Well, and that's where, like, so because people were texting in, like, of course a ton of people would be into this. And somebody said, did you forget everyone was chanting USA during the last World Cup? Like, we're not saying that you didn't root for it and follow it last time. We know, like, it's a big deal when the USA is playing a World Cup game.
The country shuts down.
The country shuts down in these kind of places. You don't go to work. Everybody's at a watch party. Like, the USA.
Public things with hundreds of thousands of people. Think, like, Grand Floral Parade in Portland.
Well, and that's where, like, I remember when the USA 4 years ago, when they were playing, and it was like we were talking about it and walking around the office, and people had it on TVs, but it was in the background. It was like, oh, yeah, hey, what's the USA score? What's
so
going on there?
So if you take, because we're not going to shut down companies. We know that. But you take USA is Croatia right now.
Mm-hmm. And they just went to go to the
final.
They
upset in the semis. They're going to the final. They are a feel-good story for a lot of soccer fans. What's the percentage of the workers, though, that are working that are allowed to follow this on TV? And again, to my point, bosses probably realize production is useless
today.
It's
an interesting question. Yeah, if you got the semifinal, final kind of moment. Obviously, the final's on a weekend, so that's a different story.
Sunday. So, according here, I'm looking at 8 a.m. Pacific time, Sunday morning.
All right.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot more than we can even imagine.
Well, hopefully we find out someday.
And I think you would get so many people calling in sick and companies. By the way, I walked in the halls. I was looking for Mark Hamilton to get him on.
Yeah, he's not here.
And his office is blasting this game. I go, oh, my God. He stayed here to watch the game in his office? No, he's not there. He's not here in the building.
He was there in the first half.
But yeah. I walked past in the hallway, and you had a pretty good group huddled around Mike Lynch. They're watching it on a little 15-inch television.
Well, it'll be interesting in 2026
in LA.
When it's here.
Yep.
How, you know, one, I think the U.S. team needs to demonstrate they need to develop some kids and
well, you got 8 years.
Show that they can, you know, might be able to do something.
Yeah, go find the good 10-year-olds, you know.
But I'd be curious to see to what extent just everybody everything shuts down. I think we're past it, and I think we're too splintered and diverse.
You really don't think in 2026, if we get our S together, make the World Cup, and somehow get to this point?
Look, I am soccer guy at this station. And
I think you're underselling it. I
think you're underestimating anti-soccer crowd.
No. Well, I probably am a little bit.
A little bit.
I think what we're underestimating is bandwagon factor and country pride factor. Right? Like, I think there's rallying cries for a lot of different pockets in the country in different sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we predominantly don't care about college baseball, but damn do we do if the Beavers make the College World Series. We predominantly don't care about college basketball. Pretty huge, significant area here when the Ducks went to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think you have your different little instances where you're getting so many people that don't care. Now caring. Now add the whole country represented on a jersey. Even take the crowd that was hating NFL players for taking a knee. You've now roped them into caring. And you add soccer guy. I just think we are underrating the aspect of bandwagon fan, country pride fan, sports fan in general, and mixing them in a pot and going, hey, half of us don't care about this. But damn, we do now because USA's involved.
They're in the final.
Yes.
Yeah, P1 Dustin at the Better You Today text line said the only thing we have in the States that comes close to the elation that the world has for soccer is a team winning the Super Bowl. That city's excitement, it's a microcosm of what happens to the country when they win. Yeah, and then you do that with major sports. You can do that city by city. I think
the city shut down, though?
Yes, if the Blazers won an NBA championship, our city would shut down.
Yeah. Let's say they won it on a weekday.
Yes, I think nobody would go to the work the next day.
I think you'd have a lot of people calling in sick on Thursday.
Yeah, there would be a huge parade. You think about all the people that would be downtown to watch that. Absolutely.
Well, Seattle shut down when they had the parade for the Super Bowl.
On parade
there.
Day, Yeah, I don't know to the extent of which they shut down, but when you're talking about
Didn't they cancel school?
Yeah, they did cancel school, yeah.
But these countries are shutting down, like, businesses are closed. You think we approach that if we get a Blazer title here the day after they win it?
Yeah, I think it's a madhouse.
Or parade day. Maybe not the day after, but parade day?
I think it's a combo. Yeah. People aren't going to work the next day, and they're not going to work on parade day.
I feel like they would do something dumb like half day.
Like some of these cities.
Parade starts at 10, guys. Please be back in the offices by 2:30.
Wheeler makes a city ordinance. The streets have to be clear by 1 p.m. Go back to work, everybody. Yeah, you could. I mean, go back and look at markets. Like, remember when Kansas City won the World Series? Remember the scene there? Or Philly when they just won the Super Bowl? Like, how big of a deal that was for Philadelphia.
Remember Kansas City?
Yeah.
The Royals?
As I just said 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I just think on cities and our professional sports do that. I just, I don't think there's some, I think we're past as a country all collectively doing it.
So and this is another interesting one, last one on your to view it in a different context of it being a negative. This guy says it that is good news for America because it means we have so many awesome things that we never put all our eggs in one basket. What the hell else does England have?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, yeah, we're diverse. You know? We're much more diversified
in that.
They got that in royal weddings. That's pretty much it, which they're out of for a while.
Yeah, that's true. No royal weddings for a bit.
Who's the next one to get married? Little Will?
Little Will.
Yeah.
Little Willie.
Whoever, Will and Kate's oldest is.
Mm.
So you probably got, 20 years? 15, 20 years?
Unless one of them gets divorced.
Any chance there's a Lion King scenario in that family?
Mufasa.
Is there a Scar Mufasa tension going on?
Gotta be. I want to be king.
I want the throne. You don't know what it's like to run the throne.
All right.
Yeah, one listener thinks I'm way wrong. I don't think when you involve the country into it, I'm going the opposite way, and I'm not even soccer guy. It's funny. Soccer guy on the show is saying it wouldn't get near the attention, and not soccer guys think it goes the other way, thinks the whole country's going to rally.
How about that? All right, well, that totally derailed the segment, and we went long. But Croatia won. They are going to the World Cup final. If you're into that kind of thing, and they're playing France, what did you say, 8 a.m. Sunday, bright and early?
Yeah, third place match is Saturday, Belgium and England again.
Oh, they have a third place match?
For the third time in this World Cup.
Do the guys care?
Why do they do
that? Do they play hard? What does a third place match look like?
Well, I think it's mostly for TV.
What is this, the Olympics?
7 a.m. on Saturday.
Can you imagine if other sports did that?
You need a bronze?
Can we institute that?
They do
in like the NFL, you have the loser of the AFC and NFC title game play for a third place trophy.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Loser of the ALCS and NLCS face off in a 5-game series.
Would you watch the NFL or NBA or even baseball if they did something like that? I think I would.
I probably would.
The Final Four used to do that.
Did they really?
Yeah, the two losers at the Final Four would play a third place game.
Hmm.
I can't remember when they stopped doing that. It's been a few decades. Yeah,
Had a Rockets and Celtics series. Huh? I want to watch that.
Dude, look at Croatia.
They're going mad.
Zagreb.
They are going mad.
I don't know if I would ever want to be in the middle of that mob, by the way.
No, that would be terrifying.
You're not moving for hours.
It's just
You're feeling like claustrophobic. Yeah. People are going to go nuts. Somebody's going to do something really stupid. That guy lit himself on fire.
What the hell's going on over there? All right, so we're way against it. Let's get to, we'll get to the best wide receiver in the NFL thing at 2 o'clock so we can let that breathe a little bit. Statter story at 2:15. We'll give you an update on the LeSean McCoy story.
Yeah, really good point, too. Don't forget about Kansas City and city's reaction to that.
Don't forget about Kansas City. You got to remember Kansas City. We'll talk LeSean McCoy and update on that story. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I was out at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Let's go!
That's right, Tommy.
Did you also go yogging before you went out to the
Glorious
House?
I did not. No, I took a break from yogging. Yeah.
Did you tell your trainer you're jogging? Did he have
a weird
reaction?
No, he heard the segment the other day.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He's also an anti-jog guy.
Oh, everybody is.
So I told him, he asked how far I went. I said, mile and a half. And he kind of was like, all right, not bad.
Good distance.
Not bad, right? Hey, we'll get to the wide receiver talk in the final hour of the show. I also have a question that just popped into my mind that I want to talk about as well. It's not sports related, but I will ask you that in the final hour, stat or story. Some stuff's still to get to. But yesterday we talked about this. This is the big story in the NFL, and it was what was going on with LeSean McCoy, the Instagram post that basically accused him of not only beating his dog, beating his kid, taking steroids, but also beating his ex-girlfriend, and the pictures were horrific, and he immediately denied any sort of involvement and said he hasn't had any communication with the girl or her friend that posted it on Instagram in a long time. And so it's a he said, she said at the start, but then last night, this was the update on it, as the lawyers for the victim said that she was the victim of a home invasion of a home owned by McCoy in Georgia. And this is as you brought up yesterday on the show, Sprague, there is pending litigation between the two of them in the state of Georgia. And people were wondering what it was. Well, this is what it is, that apparently it's his house and he's trying to get her out of it. But the assailants came into the home and they demanded specific items of jewelry that had been previously gifted to the girl by LeSean McCoy.
Oh, no.
And McCoy had requested those items of jewelry back on many occasions. And the attorney explained, quote, "In fact, after Mr. Corden refused to return her jewelry gifts to Mr. McCoy, he would often suggest to her that she should be robbed of them because it was expensive. So he is saying, technically, maybe
not
truthfully,
sounding good right now.
He hasn't had any contact with her personally, but this obviously leads everybody to think that he hired people to go in, rob her, rough her up a little bit, and get his stuff back.
If that story kind of checks out, I don't know how you have any other conclusion. If they're able to somehow pinpoint who it is and get those people to snitch, you might end up having quite a story on your hands.
This is a Tonya Harding kind of thing. I mean, you're hiring somebody to do something.
It really is.
You just got to find the people that did it and get them to admit to it, or find any evidence of trail of phone calls or text messages between the two of them.
Right, right. No doubt about it. If you're LaShawn McCoy and you know that you had something to do with this, the next 4 months of your life, you are waking up every day. You have notifications on. You are ready to fight something because you realize they might be able to trace you back to this. They may not. Maybe they investigate this and they can't pinpoint it enough on him. But a story like that, where he has been cited as saying, you should give me back those items.
Right.
And then the burglars and the domestic guys who beat her up come in and specifically ask for those items. Yeah, that's a pretty bad look. And that leads a lot of people to believe, all right, he did it. He had somebody go in there and kick her ass and steal stuff.
Yeah, it points a finger right directly at him. And that was a pretty big bombshell to be dropped last night by the attorney of the victim. By the way, the gal I saw, too, that made the post, so the friend of the ex-girlfriend, she has stood by it because this obviously blew up yesterday and it was a national conversation about what happened. And she is standing by everything that she said in her Instagram post. And I mean, look, if this ends up being true, LaShawn McCoy not only will have played his last down in the NFL, he's got some pretty serious legal stuff to be worried about. And I know the police is investigating. They are investigating this case right now in Georgia. But there's your update. The attorney of the victim says that McCoy had often threatened to steal the jewelry back, said she should be robbed because the jewelry was expensive, because she wouldn't give it back. And the assailants that broke into her home demanded specific items of jewelry that were previously given to her by McCoy.
It's a really ugly story. It's only at the beginning of it, and you're going to continue to follow it and wonder what direction is it going to end up. By the way, that Instagram post that the friend had put up, it got deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So that young lady either backtracked or was given advice to not put something out there like this while an investigation is going to be ongoing. Shady maintains his innocence, mm-hmm. and now we kind of play the waiting game to see if they can link him with those people, and if they can't, he is going to probably be playing this season.
Yep, so we'll keep you up to date on that one. That's the latest one. He still maintains his innocence, and the attorney says otherwise. Hey, lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Stat or story coming up at 2:15. We'll talk about the best wide receivers in the NFL. There was a article written on ESPN that got some folks fired up about who actually is the best one. We have a poll question on that we'll get to as well. An update on the Tampa Bay Rays and what they're trying to do down there in terms of building a new stadium. Maybe the excitement should be tempered down a little bit. And what else are we going to get to? Oh, and I have a fun TV question I want to ask because I was thinking about something.
TV question.
A fun TV question I want to ask. So load a final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.